In 1905, the gospel songwriter Sevilla D. Martin wrote this line in a song. She said, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." And if you've paid attention to gospel singing hardly any time at all, certainly from a generation ago, that's a very familiar line. Well, she got that line from Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Let me read it to you along with verse 30. Matthew 10, 29, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." Verse 30 adds to the knowledge of God. This is what it says. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Hello, everyone, and welcome to All Things Apostolic. We're glad to have you along. Today, we're going to be talking about the omniscience of God, or God's all, that part of God that is all-knowing. Let's dive right in. In Matthew's gospel, the fifth and sixth chapters, Jesus is teaching his followers, and this teaching in Matthew chapters 5 and 6 is classically called the Sermon on the Mount, and he covers several topics while he's in it, most notably the Beatitudes. By the time we get to chapter 5 and into chapter 6, Jesus is teaching on prayer there at the beginning of chapter 6, and he goes over several things. And in teaching on prayer, the Lord offers a statement about the nature of God. Let me read it to you in chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. He said this, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them." Notice this. Notice what he says. "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." So the Father knows before you ask. Foreknowledge, pre-knowledge. God has foreknowledge. He knows before we even ask. So what does this mean? How do we begin to talk about the fact that God knows all things? Well, we could probably spend all day on it. Let's spend the next 10 minutes or so on it. So what do we mean when we say that God knows all things? Well, this is a subject that is similar, and I would even say emerges out of a subject that we've talked about already, that God is infinite. This, it kind of emerges out of God's infinity, and God's omniscience, or God's all-knowingness, means that God has infinite knowledge. There's nothing that's secret with the Lord. Nothing has escaped his mind. Perhaps in another session, when we talk about this, because there is discussion about this, there's points that have to be understood as you talk about God's omniscience or his all-knowingness. And perhaps in another session, we can dive into this portion of the discussion where God, as he's manifest as Jesus Christ, and we can read about his life in the Gospels, but as he's manifest as Jesus Christ, as to his humanity, he is subject to the same limitations that we are as humans. So that in one particular sense, God is all-knowing, and then in another sense that we read about God manifest in Jesus Christ in the Gospels, we are aware that like we are limited in our knowledge, so the humanity of Jesus Christ was limited in his knowledge. So God manifest can limit his knowledge, so that when he is asked, one example in Matthew 24, about the sign of his coming, and when is that going to be? Those that were around him, his disciples, asked him, when is that going to be? When is the sign of your coming? And Jesus answered, and this is to show that God can limit his understanding as to his humanity, but in Matthew 24, verse 36, he answers that, and he says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So this is Jesus' earthly limitations. He is acknowledging his earthly limitations. God has limited himself as a human being, even in his knowledge. But he also acknowledges the fact that as to his divine nature, as to the divine nature, the Father knoweth all things. There is no limitation. The Father, which is in heaven, knows that day and knows that hour. So as to God's essential nature, as to God's, as to the way we've talked about this previously, as to God's attributes, his characteristics, some of them are innate. Some of them are natural. Some of them are characteristics and attributes that God and God alone has. And that's the part of it that we're talking about today, that God, as to his essential nature, is not limited in the slightest with what he knows. And so that's the part that we're going to be talking about today. And the way this is expressed in Scripture, God's omniscience, God's all-knowingness, the way that this is expressed in Scripture is with a range of terms, a range of ideas. And the Bible speaks about God's all-knowing nature using terms like, and these are not surprising terms, you'll recognize these as you read Scripture, and there are several. I'll just give you two or three here, but it uses terms like understanding or wisdom or knowledge, things like that, that are very not surprising at all. You can pick those up. In fact, we can see this. Let me just give you one example in passage like Psalm 147 and 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Now, if we skip down to verse 4, this is what he says. "He telleth the number of the stars." The psalm writer here is giving us a concept of how great God's knowledge is. "He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names." In another setting, God is speaking to Abraham back in Genesis, and he's talking to Abraham about the promise of children and nations that are going to be born from him, and he likens them to the sands of the sea and the stars of the heavens, and he says, "Abraham, just try to count the stars." But the psalm writer here in 147:4, he says, "He telleth the number of the stars," where Abraham could never have hoped to have counted all the stars. "God telleth the number of them and calleth them all by their names." Listen to verse 5. "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." So the word combination here, litvuna ayin mispar, this literally means, litvuna means insight or the ability to see into, litvuna, the ability to look into, to see into, and it literally means ayin mispar, means it cannot be qualified, litvuna ayin mispar. His ability to look into things, his ability to see, cannot be measured. It can't be quantified. So the Old Testament knows very well what it's doing. All of these writers, they know very well what they're doing. And when the Old Testament uses this type of language, it's doing it to describe the great expanse, the immeasurableness of God's knowledge, his understanding. But Scripture also uses what are called anthropomorphisms, or things that are shaped for the human to understand. Anthro being human, and morph is talking about shape. So it's things that are shaped for humans to understand, or things literally in the shape of human. Things like eyes. It'll talk about the eyes of the Lord, and it's referring to God's sight. In some cases, it'll talk about prayer coming to his ears, and it's knowledge coming into God. It's the same for human beings. That's how we gain our knowledge, is through those sensory gates: sight, smell, hearing, tasting, feeling. And so Scripture speaks anthropomorphically in shapes that humans can understand and identify with readily. And it talks about God's all-knowingness, God's omniscience, through those gates that we know very well as human beings made in his image. Here's one example, Proverbs 15 and 3. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And the idea is that the eyes of God have missed nothing. The eyes of God have missed nothing. They're in every place. Hebrews 4 and 12 touches on the same thing, actually in verse 13, but we'll start with verse 12 just because we like it. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow." And here it is. He begins talking about his infinite knowledge, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God doesn't just know what's going on in the world. He knows what's going on inside our mind, inside our heart. Listen to verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. It kind of sounds like Proverbs 15. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So this is Scripture's attempt to let us know how God knows everything, that there's nothing that's hidden from his eyes. God knows. God is all-knowing. So God is the one who has supreme knowledge. There is no knowledge that God does not have. And this is simultaneously for us, this is comforting and it's a little disconcerting. Because he knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. God has supreme knowledge. There's nothing, there is no secret. This is why David would pray and say, God, deliver me from secret faults. God knows when we've been mistreated, and he knows when we mistreat. God knows when we've been slandered, and he knows when we slander. So this is simultaneously comforting that God knows everything, and at the same time, it's disconcerting. Let's read a few passages of Scripture that display God's infinite knowledge, his omniscience, his all-knowingness. Let's read it. The first one that we'll read is in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. David is speaking to his son Solomon and says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." Listen to what he says. "For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." That's what David says. He searcheth all the hearts. That means he's got the knowledge of the inner man. There's nothing inside a man that God doesn't know. And he understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. That's what David told to Solomon. David writes similar. You can hear this in David's writing in Psalm 139, verse 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture, and one that we could hardly talk about God's infinite knowledge or God's omniscience without reading this one. Psalm 139, verse 1. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways." Listen to verse 4. "For there is not a word in my tongue." This is before I speak it. "But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together." He would go on to say, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't attain unto this. This is David being in awe of God's infinite knowledge, God's omniscience. Isaiah 40 in verse 13, the prophet Isaiah gets in on this discussion. This is what he says. "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him?" He's acknowledging this concept. There's nobody that can teach God anything. The concept here is that God knows it all already. Listen to verse 14. "With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding?" The idea is God had all understanding always. There's never been a time when God didn't know everything. Isaiah touches this subject again in chapter 46, verse 9. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." Listen to verse 10. "Declaring the end from the beginning." In other words, I know it all. I know the end from the beginning. "And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure." This concept makes it into the New Testament also. Romans 11, verse 33, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And then he touches on the fact that you and I aren't even close when it comes to what God knows and what we know. Listen to verse 34. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been his counselor?" Let's close with this one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the Apostle John writing to the church. And he tells us something comforting that is connected to the fact that God knows all things. John chapter 3, verse 19, this is what he says. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. That's part of that. There's this idea that our heart may condemn us because of a mistake, or our heart may condemn us because of a thought or something that we've said, etc. But God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. He knows what we don't even know about us. God knows all things. What a comfort that God should know all things. Yes, it's disconcerting that God knows all things, but it's also a comfort that God knows all things. And when our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things. I'm looking forward to the remainder of what we're going to do, talking about the attributes of God. I hope you'll join. God bless.